We join you on a Tuesday morning with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Well, you know, there's a phrase, what a difference a day makes. It looks like Donald Trump's done an about-face. Needing money, Trump turns to the GOP for help. He's being nicer as well.
Well, he's got a problem here, David. He has to make a decision whether he wants to risk his outsider status by cooperating with the Republicans. And up until now, it looks like a very fractured party. I mean, after all, you have two ex-presidents named Bush saying that they're not going to even show up. You have Mitt Romney furious. You have Paul Ryan basically saying he's out of sync with the presidential candidate. And now it is really up to Trump to see what he can salvage, because going into an election, he doesn't want everybody standing on the sidelines. If all those Republicans are, he'll lose for sure. I mean, he needs those votes. On the other hand, he doesn't want to give up his outsider status, which is what made so many people vote for him and which he's counting on to get a lot of Democrats to vote for him with. So he's in a bad spot, although it's clear that nothing means anything. You say one thing one day and then the next day you do something else. And apparently that is liked by a lot of the Trump followers, who don't care that he's inconsistent or that he can't really stick with one policy outline. So they sort of want to give him that free hand. We'll see how it comes out. I suspect everybody will walk out of that room with their arms around each other.
We also see in a column in the New York Times today, Warren takes lead in attack on Trump. A spat on Twitter offered a preview of how the general election could go, with Elizabeth Warren unifying Democrats and Mr. Trump unable to resist small provocations.
Well, she gave up some leadership in the progressive movement to Bernie Sanders. I mean, she was being looked at as a potential presidential candidate. A lot of people were yelling, run, Liz, run. But in fact, she didn't do it, and Bernie took over that mantle. Now, as we get closer to the election, she's being looked at as the person who could mobilize the left or progressive forces within the Democratic Party, the labor unions and others. It is interesting that she forewent the opportunity to be the leader of the progressive group, but now seems to be interested in getting it back again.
Did you see this story, Alan? The headline, attack on West Virginia State Senate candidate overshadows vote. The candidate, Richard Ojeda, a Democrat from West Virginia State Senate, said from his hospital bed in Charleston that he had been kicked in the head at a campaign barbecue until he passed out by a man that he had known as a child, leaving him with fractured bones in eight places, including his eye socket and jaw, and stitches, bruises, and swelling. He believed it had been politically motivated. Now that's some politics, rough and tumble.
Yeah, you don't see that very much. Obviously, we have laws, and if people kick somebody in the head and ruins their eye socket, they're going to go to jail for that. However, it does make all those kids who are walking around who we may have offended earlier in life, who see us 25 years later, and the flame hasn't gone out, and they kick you hard and say, you ruined my life.
We certainly do, though, see a lot of anger in politics these days.
You do. I was at the Berkshire Hills town meeting last night, David, and they voted down the education budget, an amalgam of sort of private school people and people whose kids had already graduated. And I was disappointed, I'll be honest with you. I know these people have passionate feelings about why they're right. But our kids are our future. And when you vote down school budgets and when you suggest that, you know, we just can't afford it, we've always afforded it. We afforded it for their kids. We've afforded it for my kids who've done very well as a result of having gone to school in Great Barrington. And I'm upset when people don't realize how important our educational structure is.
Finally, packing heat on college campuses. In Georgia last week, Governor Nathan Deal vetoed a measure that would allow students to carry concealed weapons to class at the same time. Lawmakers in Tennessee succeeded in a partial advance of the campus carry gun craze, approving a measure, and Governor Haslam there declined to sign or veto it, thus it became law.
Good grief. The last thing we need are guns in classrooms. Because, look, teenagers are not fully formed human beings. We know that. There'll be some teacher who feels threatened, who pulls out a gun. It's guaranteed to happen that if you have people carrying guns, somebody's going to use one of those guns. And to me, it is just the extension of the insanity of guns that rules in this country.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, David.